What is up, everybody? It was long awaited, but we are back to discuss the season 4 finale of Amazon Prime Video's superhero show, The Boys. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darren Scalamoni. I am joined, as always, by my buddies Michael Peniston.
Hello, everyone.
As well as Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
Guys, we have so much to discuss. This dropped, as of our recording, we're recording this the Tuesday following the episode, which came out last Thursday, so we're a little late. But it's for good reason. We wanted to get all three of us in studio to discuss this finale. We've been pretty critical of this season, which I think a lot of people have been, and rightfully so. I think there have been a few moments that have been not boys-like. They've gone a little bit too deep with their meta references. They have made some choices that we haven't really been able to understand, and they haven't really fully explained. But Michael said something before we started recording, which I would love for you to bring to light for the audience, in which this show did something very magical with its finale in terms of its storytelling. Yes, so why don't you go ahead and allude that to the audience, Michael?
Yes, it did. Like you said, coming into the season, a lot of complaints, a lot of problems, maybe not all problems, but a lot of criticism. And in one episode, they were able to fit every problem, every complaint I heard online, I don't know. And there needs to be a study on this episode because they somehow made it perfect. Mm-hmm. And just, I'm so ready for that season.
Yeah, absolutely. Vinny?
Yeah, I agree. The setup for season 5 is like now one of the most anticipated seasons of television in the oncoming of just, you know, constant content for me. I like the second this was over, I immediately was like, holy shit, why do I have to wait 2 years? We have to wait 2 whole years now for season 5 because just everything they set up in this last episode is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And it's also just a great episode through and through. I loved it. The plot twists were shocking and relevant, and going into just whatever's to come is exciting.
Yeah, I agree. So without further ado, let's jump into spoilers, gentlemen, because there's a lot that we need to discuss. So if you guys are tuning into this review and you're looking for a non-spoiler, sorry, we don't have it for you. Just go and watch the episode. If you haven't watched it already, then come back and watch our review and discussion on it, because we dive into some deep theories. We dive into all our thoughts, and we all have different thoughts because we're all different people. Yes. So go and watch the episode, come back and check it out, because we're going to dive into spoilers in 3, 2, 1. So let's start with the big one. Victoria Newman is dead. Did we think this was going to happen? I had no idea. We had some theories, especially Vinny was a proponent theorist, and rightfully so, because the original title of this episode was called Assassination Run. It was retitled to season 4 finale in light of the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. So we had thought, though, with the name, it could have been something with A-Train. We don't get A-Train at all in this episode. Yeah. He's gone. Yeah. So Victoria Newman, let's start there. Vinny, we'll go with you. We'll circle around the other way. What were your thoughts on it? Did you have any theory that that might have happened? And what was your reaction to seeing her brutal fucking death?
So that was completely shocking. I did not anticipate Victoria Newman to die. Especially, I love the way she did die. Yep. Like, having that whole scene where Butcher comes in, and then we finally get a reveal of, like, Butcher's power, which is essentially, like, Venom. Yeah. And, like, living with this, like, symbiote. And it's so disgusting and powerful. And her death scene was just awful in the most spectacular way. And I did not expect that at all. If we're talking about A-Train, I really thought A-Train was going to be a big component of this episode. But I'm also excited to see what he's going to play in the next season. I hope we don't forget about him. I hope that he actually comes back and plays a part. So,
Michael.
Yeah, I agree. I had the thought in the back of my head that maybe, like, quite possibly she could die. I didn't think at all it would happen the way it happened. And I definitely thought that if it did happen, if it was to have happened, it would have happened with Homelander killing her. I always thought that there was, like, a build up with that. I was not expecting how this played out at all. Not at all. I thought the scene was so good, especially coming off of Huey's little like Captain America motivational speech, and then just bam, like right into it. It was interesting to see Butcher now in this, I guess you could say, almost full, I don't want to say full form, but like we don't know what could possibly come with it, but to know that we saw an extent of his powers, plus it almost like kind of like de-aged him. Like he kind of like, if you looked at previous, he was like dying, and now he's like fine. So like to kind of like see like Butcher, like season one Butcher back out of nowhere, I'm like, oh snap. And then the death was just so like, boys, brutal. It was just, it was cool. Even like the little like moment where you see like, what's Victoria's daughter's name?
Zoe,
where you see Zoe kind of like try and go, and he just like hits her and she goes flying, which shows how strong Butcher really is too. That he could just like fight off all those people like that. It was a scene I for sure wasn't expecting. But I definitely think it was one of those scenes that played an important role in this episode being as good as it was, and like being able to catapult us into like the next season so strong, because like she also was to me like a heavy hitter character that could maybe even take out Homelander at some point. Like I always thought like maybe she could be that, or there will be something similar to that. Now that she's out of the equation entirely, the dynamic of everything changed.
Yeah.
And so it was big.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it. I did call the Butcher thing early on, as soon as he killed Ezekiel. I had a feeling that we were going to see something like that happen. Go back and watch the tape. I called it. Newman dying the way that she did was definitely, like you said, it was very reminiscent of some of the other brutal deaths that we've seen. I mean, week to week on The Boys. The interesting thing to me in all of it too, which we can transition into, is the role that Sister Sage has in all. And I definitely want to piggyback off what you just said, Michael. Newman's character, Newman dying, has a whole different meaning in this world now. And we are now in a place where, I mean, the Supes always had an influence on the political landscape in this world, but now it's very direct. So much so that we get the stinger at the end of the episode as well, where the new president takes Homelander into like a cryogenic chamber, and there's Soldier Boy, who is his father. So there's a lot to come with that, but what I do want to focus on again first is the Sister Sage of it all, because her character has definitely been one of my MVPs for the season. And so hard to implement a new character four seasons into a show, a beloved show, and have a character be as effective as she was. I do want to give props to the actress, because she was so great this season. I know I've shouted her out in the past. Susan Hayward plays Sister Sage. And we get the end of this where, again, it's like Homelander. It's the first person that Homelander, there's just a deeper connection rather than it just being something like that he has with like Firecracker, where he's just there for the milk. Like there's a different relationship there. Michael, how did you feel about Sister Sage's impact at the end of the season? And just sort of where do you think we're going to go from here with the partnership that is Sister Sage and Homelander?
So I really love Sister Sage. I like you said, again, it's hard for you to just throw a new character in the mists like that. But I think that the this character was the best way they could have gone with all of this. Honestly, I think that in the grand scheme of things, you need somebody with a mind like, what's Victoria's dad's name?
Stan Edgar.
Yeah. You know, like that. But like for it to also be like a superpower, and it'd be like, I don't know, you need somebody that just knows Vought, like, or at least like thinks like Vought, and like, but is masterful, very like manipulative. And just Sister Sage, I felt like, is like the clear representation of that. And I loved how they honestly had her arc this season, like for you to think that like, okay, like you think that she's like this high and like all like Homelander's right hand woman basically thing, and then like the last episode or the last two episodes, I think, were like the whole Tet Knight thing happened, and like you saw like she kind of just like fell through, and you think, all right, like, I guess that she was anything. And then for her to come back, and, like, she had one of the hardest lines, I think, too, in the season, mm. where, like, where he was like, well, why did you do the Homeland asked, why'd you do this? And she was like, to see if I could. Mm. And I was like, yeah. yo, like, what?
Mm. That's badass.
It's, like, that's badass. Super badass. And it was just, I don't know, to know that all of this was in some way or another still aligned with her plan. Just shows you that she is a serious threat in all of this, to the point where even when you think things aren't going to plan, it's still going to plan. So it makes me wonder, now that her and Homelander are really at, like, this, like, top ranked sort of thing, like, what effect she's gonna have on the next season, and is her loyalty even still truly with Homelander? I don't know. I definitely still wonder a lot of that. But again, I loved how they portrayed her character.
I am curious if we get, like, a battle of the wits between Sister Sage and Stan mm-hmm. going forward, especially because Stan's daughter was now killed mm-hmm. and his granddaughter is the only person in the world he might love more than his daughter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, he's very much a Vought suit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he might not even fully... I don't know. He might not even fully believe or know what happened to his daughter. I'm curious if maybe he teams up with the boys and they have to take down Butcher too, because Butcher's a threat now and he's mm. basically having, like, a villain turn yeah. towards the end of the show. Mm. But Vinny, we discussed a lot there. I don't know what you want to dive into. Mm. There's a specific thing.
Yeah. Not really anything specific, just kind of echoing what you guys said. Like, Sister Sage is such an interesting character. And I love the fact that, like, cause I had a feeling from the beginning, like, she's so intelligent to the point where, like, whatever it's, even if it seems like it's not going to plan, it's going to be the plan. And we got a confirmation of that, which was cool. I think, I also want to mention, I don't know why my brain keeps, I'm just going to go spiraling on something else, because my brain keeps, it's popping up again and again, and that's Ashley.
That was the next part I was gonna bring up too.
Yeah, so we see Ashley take V, and, like, we don't know what superpower she has, but we mentioned A-Train just before, and I think that maybe they started growing a bond in this season, and I think that they're gonna, in the fifth season, be like a soup upped, like, duo to try to, like, assist the boys in taking down Homeland.
I definitely agree with you. My theory in terms of what is going to happen, I mean, you see a little bit of it with her head, like, kind of becoming deformed. I think she's going to be like the leader in Marvel and, like, Sinestro in DC. Like, she's just going to have a ginormous fucking head, and she's going to be incredibly intelligent and incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen. I mean, they've already made so many references to her losing all her hair. She's been pulling out her hair season after season. But I do think that's intentional, the way that the relationship was forming between Ashley and A-Train going forward. So, Vinny, I definitely agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Michael, did you have anything?
Not only that, thinking about it like that, and, like, the idea of her, like, especially Ashley in the midst of this and coming off, like, the whole Sister Sage conversation, if that does play out, that would be cool. Because I always felt like Sister Sage and Ashley kind of had, like, Ashley has beef with a lot of people. Like, no one really likes her.
Yeah.
But I feel like there were times where you would see, like, Sage and Ashley really kind of go at it just because they were so, like, opposing forces at times. So it would be cool to see Ashley maybe then become, like, also a super thinker sort of thing. And then it's, like, ends up being an Ashley versus Sage thing. I don't know. I'm interested, though, because, and I'm happy you brought up that Ashley thing, because that was, like, such a cliffhanger of a moment, right? It's like, they could go anywhere with that. So it's like,
my friend had a theory that, unlike your guys' predictions, he predicted that that she will have, like, hair superpowers. Like, she can control, like, she'll grow back
and
her
then
hair
just, like, whip people with her hair.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be crazy.
excuse me.
that'd be crazy. Mm-hmm. I could see it happening, though. So yeah, Ashley's a great point. One of the other things that Michael and I discussed before we started recording, that Vinny, I know, is also near and dear because it's something you've been waiting on, so I would love to go for your take on it first. We finally have the coming together in a romantic sense between Frenchie and Kimiko. And we get Kimiko speaking her first words throughout the series. So was that a moment where you got up out of your chair and you Breakfast Club fist pumped, or like what was your take on that?
Yeah, so for that's exactly my reaction actually. I freaking love Frenchie and I love Kimiko so much. And seeing their moment of embrace in this episode made me so happy. And I was like, yeah. And we'll go into this later because I think the last like 5 minutes is literally a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Like Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box is playing, and what a great use of that song and that scene where we have Kate from Gen V like essentially brainwashed.
Have you gone back and watched Gen V yet?
I have not.
Oh, dude!
I have not, but just because I've been busy, you know.
No, I get it. You're a busy guy.
Understood.
But that scene broke me. That scene, like, actually, that whole montage was, like, so shocking and so powerful. But that particularly, when Kimiko finally says, no, no, and is screaming and crying as she watches Frenchie, like there's no violent force. It's unlike the boy. And I like this contrast of Kate's power within the situation because the boys is very violent, right? Like, I feel like typically in the boys, if this would occur, it would be like Frenchie being exploded into a million pieces and then Kimiko being like, no, but no, he's intact. It's the superpower that's like, you know, and Frenchie, we have him finally regaining control in his life towards the later end of this season for it to just be taken away by Kate. And there's something, the dramatic irony behind that, I think, is so powerful.
Yeah, I do think it kind of resembles, not to be too like mainstream with it, but the way that it ends, it reminds me of like what happens when, I believe it's Civil War, where you see all the heroes in the rift and they're all just together in their own cells. And like, that's what we're seeing with all of these heroes of the boys. Like, you're having Frenchie being taken away. You have Mother's Milk, who's so close to just like leaving it all behind. Yeah. And that doesn't happen because he wants to stick by his crew. He gets taken away from his family. Hubie gets captured. We do see Starlight get her powers back, which is encouraging going forward. But so many of the boys are now incapacitated. They're not a factor going into season 5, which is set to be the final season. We did get the reveal this week that it's not coming until 2026. So we have a while. Yeah. We have a long wait. The interesting thing is, as we had alluded to in the beginning of this episode, like, it wasn't our favorite season. I would argue it's probably my least favorite season up until a certain point, because there's a couple of episodes in this season that are like pure 9 and above to me. Yeah. But there's like some weird black holes in the season at the same time. But I think season 5 is going to be so epic to such a degree that it's going to be like the perfect send off for the show. And that's why I can't wait, Vinny, until you do watch Gen V so we could talk about it. And what is to come with that, because there's definitely a lot of implication with that show. But what did you think about the final moments, Michael? Because I mean, we talked a lot about it already, obviously, but there's so much there to kind of chew on. What was one of your biggest takeaways from the last like 5 minutes of the episode?
So I agree with the last 5 minutes. I agree was just, oh my God, Chef's kiss is so beautiful. I believe that it was so important to show the now the new state of their world, where it's like before you had Supes that I guess were kind of like running the world, but like under control. Like, no, now Supes are like basically running the world type of thing. And like, it shows that the boys are still just a bunch of humans. You know what I'm saying? Like normal, like citizens, and how easy it was for them to just like, because think about it, like they've been like in hiding for so long, but like they waited till now for all of this for them to just simply come in out of nowhere and be like, all right, we're taking you guys in. So like that alone I felt like said a lot, and it played a major role, I feel like, into this next season. And I'm going to kind of come back to this because there's a lot I have to say about this the last 5 minutes. basically, I feel like another thing that they did that's really so strong and needs to be studied with this episode, they kind of brought it to a place where they could follow the comments to a degree a little bit more. Because I know that was like a complaint too. People were saying that like they are just so off from the comments that there's like no going back. I know that in the comments, there's a certain point where all of the boys eventually end up taking V and like they get powers. And in that time, at the same time in that comic, I think is when Butcher becomes a villain.
Okay.
In the comic. And I'm like watching like the end of like these last 5 minutes. I'm like, wait a second. Like we're now watching a world where like they can't go against a lot of these soups realistically, unless they have either more soups on their team, which I would love to see A-Train and Ashley and all of them come back for that. That would be sick. But they might need to take some V themselves, knowing like the difficulty of the situation. And so like, it is kind of going back to a place in the comments where like, we could see a lot of that with Butcher, all of that. So it was really cool to see that like they were able to kind of like reel it back in with all of that. But again, these last 5 minutes, there were like the whole Kimiko and Frenchie scene. That was another problem that people had, and that they were able to bring that in, but still be able to take it away so fast. And Sam was another character in the moment. He was the guy that grabbed Kimiko. That's another Gen V character. Major, very important. You can tell. And you can tell that those characters in that show, now especially, are going to play a major role moving forward, especially with the boys
and the other characters that we haven't seen yet.
Yes
are going to play a major role.
Yes, definitely. But even like the Huey Starlight moment, like when Starlight like flew off in those last 5 minutes, first of all, it was really cool, really cool just to see her, right? Like the cool way visual. Yeah, it was very cool as visual. But it was also, again, it felt like to me, I don't know why, I kind of had like a callback to like, oh, like this most recent season of Invincible, where it was like, I don't know, like for them to all be like separated in a way. Maybe like Invincible is a weird example to bring up there. Yeah. But I don't know, it was just like the way that they played it out, where it was like they all got separated, and Starlight is still kind of like on her own sort of thing. Like that was the best they could have done for her character, because I don't know, everything they did is just perfect. I have a lot to say and I'm like kind of just going into a tangent now. So I'm gonna pass.
No, it's good. No, because there is so much that happens in that moment. And I do think, and I'm glad you brought up Gen V again, because I just think that the characters that we are not seeing from that show are going to have to play a major part in what's going to happen going forward in this world.
Yeah.
Especially if Homelander has his recruits like there, because there's other characters that are, haven't been implemented other than just screenshots on a news broadcast.
Not only that, I just now, I'm sorry to mean to
cut you. No, you're good. Go ahead.
I just now remembered, now that Victoria Newman is dead, too, I don't want to spoil anything for you, Vinny, but let's just say there's a character in Gen V that's similar to Victoria. Okay. I'm not going to spoil anything past that, because it is a cool sort of story thing in it, but it almost feels like them bringing this character in the way they did was even more intentional.
Yeah, I totally agree. One other thing I did want to touch on, which we haven't brought to light yet, which was one of my favorite sequences in the whole entire episode, is the scene in the bunker hospital that Butcher is in with Ryan and his aunt. You remember his aunt's name?
Grace.
I don't have it on IMDb for some reason.
Is it Grace or
it is?
Yeah, Aunt Grace, I think. Right,
Grace Mallory.
Yeah. Okay. So, so Aunt Grace, who is not a biological aunt, but just somebody that means a lot and has played a major role in Ryan's life, he kills out of frustration and out of anger. And the fact that they are trying to weaponize him to go against Homelander. Ryan's had a very interesting season. One of my favorites, probably my favorite of his. And as the actor who plays Ryan, Cameron Crivetti, as he gets older, he's really kind of finding himself with the character, which I think is great. But he kills his aunt and he flees. Where do we think he goes from here? Do we see him being side by side with Homelander Do we see him eventually playing into his demise? Are we going to get the battle that everybody wants to see between Ryan and Homelander? Do we think he kills Butcher? I mean, there's so many ways that he can go, his character. I'm curious if you guys had any theories or you guys were thinking about it. And how did you feel about that scene in general?
Yeah, so it was interesting. For me, I don't think Ryan can be redeemed from this move, from this moment forward. I think that this is the moment where the writers have been like teetering on like, oh, he's going to be the good boy, take it down. Oh, he might be the bad boy, right? But I think from this point forward, now it's like he's not going to be redeemed. And I think they're going to follow that path.
The Homelander path.
The Homelander path. But I don't necessarily think that he's going to team back up with Homelander. I think he's going to be kind of like independent in a sense, you know? Yeah. But not good, not on like the side of like the boys. He's going to be a lot more, more of a killer. I think also, now that Soldier Boy is back, I think that might play a really interesting dynamic in the fifth season. I think that Soldier Boy and Ryan are going to interact again.
I think so too.
In an interesting way.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that, Michael.
And it's definitely going to be. And like a now that Ryan's gonna be coming from it older, and he's gonna be, I feel like now he's had a little bit more experience with powers. We're definitely gonna get like a fight scene, I think, between Ryan, Homelander, and Soldier Boy, which will be so cool to see. I agree that like it's not even like they can. It's just gonna be super hard to kind of redeem him after a kill like that. To the point, I don't know if they want to. And I also agree, I could see him kind of doing like that, I'm going to do my own thing type thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe coming back at weird moments, even if it is like the last episode of the show. Mm-hmm. I have this theory after watching these last 5 minutes that I feel like the finale, like the series finale of The Boys, is going to be on par with Avengers Endgame. I think that it's going to be a moment where you're seeing like down to like just like a crazy fight scene where you're seeing like whether the boys have temp V at that point. You're just going to see like how they shot Endgame, essentially, where it's like I think you're going to see moments where like characters are fighting each other.
The last time we got that was, what was it, the season 3 finale? No, season 2 finale.
Season 2 where they were like out in that field. That was a beautiful finale.
Maybe one of my favorite episodes of television ever.
So good. So
that
good.
Was an awesome episode.
Epic. It was really epic.
But yeah, I do have that theory that it will get to that point. and I do think that a lot of these storylines are going to kind of see the conclusion in that moment. And I think that's where we'll see Ryan and Homelander and all of that. But I don't know how. I do think he'll be stay independent and we'll see how
it goes. We'll see what happens with it. Yeah. I do. So I do have one flaw with the episode, which I'll bring to the forefront. And then if there's anything else you guys want to comment on, and then we can maybe get to scores, because we did cover pretty much the whole episode, except for this thing that I find that was a big flaw with the episode. I like the shape-shifting character. I don't remember the character's name. They were embodying Annie for so much of the last couple episodes. Annie's reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Really bothered me. bothered me. Because how the fuck are you going to blame Huey for not knowing what he was doing? There was no indication that he was going to be able to figure out. Like, that was a frustrating choice for me.
No.
They could have handled that in a much better way, in which she wasn't being like, well, you didn't know that it was me. It's like, how would you expect him to know that that's you?
Right.
How? That bothered me a lot. Vinny, I don't know if you felt, because you were also kind of agreeing off screen, but.
Yeah, I agree. That scene was weird to me, because technically he got assaulted, right? And it's like to see Starlight's reaction.
Over 20 times.
Yeah.
on top of the Tech Knight shit that you guys covered last week. Okay. Huey's whole, by the way, and I won't go too much on a tangent. Huey this season, he was the most interesting character all season to me because of the approach they had with him. Yeah. Because he had great hero moments and terrific monologues, and I really like Jack Wade. I do. Mm-hmm. I really hope after this, because we all know Anthony Starr is going to get a bunch of shit. Carl Urban's already getting big roles, and he was a bigger actor. Like, I want Jack Quaid to do more. Mm. I think he's great as Huey. Yeah. And this season, they had such an interesting trajectory with him of, like, this.
Yeah.
And he was having these major character moments that could be super traumatic that they just completely erased from his character.
Yeah.
And that's not who he is at his core. The whole reason he goes after the Zoops is because his girlfriend is killed by A-Train.
Yeah.
And now he gets sexually assaulted 30 times in 3 weeks.
Hmm.
And it's never touched upon?
Yeah.
And it's not going to be touched upon, by the way. I really don't think they're going to touch upon it ever. So, sorry to cut you off, Vinny.
No, that's
how I feel. And it's annoying.
I entirely agree. I think that it's weird. And I don't like how it kind of reminded me of Amber in Invincible season one.
Yes.
When Amber was like, oh, I knew you were invincible. And everyone was like, what? And then like, she was still mad at him, even though she knew. It reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even to a more like disrespectful degree.
Yeah. It was extreme.
Yeah. Because it's like, this is such an extreme situation for then Annie to be like, it felt out of character for her too. Like, I understand they're kind of leaning into a more like reckless, like she's not thinking too much this season, right? Like that whole scene where she just like gets up on stage, fucking beats Firecracker to near death. Like, she's having this more reckless, like, not thinking. So I don't know if like that was their intention with that, but it just felt out of place. It felt weird. It was just so, it just felt disrespectful, not only to the audience and the fans, but like to both of their characters, Huey and Starlight's character.
Yeah, I agree. Michael, did you have anything on that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It was so such a weird moment. Mm-hmm. Also, I was gonna say that like despite obviously like the time it took that they were with, like Huey still did figure out that it wasn't her, like, yeah, which wasn't like a easy sort of thing like that. So I don't know. I feel like despite it taking a little bit, like, he still did save Starlight. So like that kind of made the response a little unwarranted too. But yeah, so many reasons. Assault heavily. That's like probably the first one. I didn't even think about the fact that he was assault. It's crazy. I guess because the boys is so, they like, well, just like,
well, it's sugar, like, grotesque. Yeah.
They sugarcoat so much that it's like, you don't even realize when they're doing something that's like a serious sort of thing, yeah, and stuff like that. Yeah. And so like, I didn't even really realize how much Huey had been assaulted throughout this, coming off of the death of his father.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, really strange thing for them to do. I just that was really weird after hearing that. I just had to really kind of like nitpick on that. That's really strange. But you know, I definitely didn't like how they wrote Starlight's character. It was just like a really weird sort of.
Yeah, Annie was interesting this season. Yeah. I don't know. It was an interesting approach, but
yeah,
there was a lot that happened obviously in this episode. But we should give a score, not for the episode, but for the season as a whole, which I know is kind of hard to do. It's an uneven season in my eyes. There are some really great highs. Homelander's episode, returning back to his birth, so to speak, is a fantastic episode. This finale is one of the better episodes that we've seen from the boys in quite a while. There's a lot to chew on with it. I have a score in my mind. I can give it if you guys want me to give it, unless there's anything else you guys want to cover, but I think we did it all. Mm-hmm. No, we're good? Okay. So, though I did love the finale and that Homelander episode, I'm going to give this season a 7.5 out of 10. It's probably in between a 7.5 and an 8 for me. I used to give scores in the in-betweens all the time last year. I'm trying to shy away from that and just stick with the halves or the holes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a strong 7.5, leaning in between really a 7.5 and an 8. Michael, where are you leaning?
I lean up before you said that. I was teetering on the 6.5 level, but I think I'm going to give it a 7. Just thinking back to, I honestly forgot about episodes like that with Homelander and like the small moments of crazy you got from him. Mm. But like, even like just like the vulnerable moments from Huey and like the bed scene, those made up for it. So I would give it a 7.
Okay.
Yeah. And sticking with that, I'm also giving it a 7.
Okay.
I think that like you mentioned, the highs are incredible. I'm just looking at the IMDb. Like episode 4, episode 5 was really good. Episode 7 and episode 8 were really, really good. The other episodes did not care about, but the highs make up for it. Mm-hmm. Just a light 7.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go any higher than that.
I will say, I think I can take away from this conversation between the three of us that we are stoked for season 5 because there's a lot to come, especially if it is true that this is going to be the last season of The Boys proper. There's a lot of things that need to be kind of wrapped up, but I thought, like you had said, Michael, they did a really great job of wrapping up this season and putting the fans in a place where they can be really excited and confident going into season 5. Mm. So there's a lot. We talked about a lot this whole season. We hope you guys enjoyed the ride with us. This is our first time we were able to cover The Boys on the channel. What did you guys think about season 4 of The Boys? If you guys had to give it a score, please write it in the comments. And we'd love to have a conversation with you guys. Talk about the high highs, the low lows, things you liked, new characters, characters that you're excited to see come back, like Soldier Boy. theories you guys may have going forward. Let us know in the comments and be sure to give this video a like if you can and subscribe to us. We have the Culture Wave Media Network. We cover all things film and television. If you're also a fan of superhero stuff, Michael and I will be covering Deadpool and Wolverine next week, plus all the Comic-Con news we're going to get into after this weekend and a lot of stuff going forward. Vinny's also going to be covering The Penguin with us in September or October. When is that?
Oh, I forget.
I think it's October, but I don't know. Sorry, I was just asking off the side. But we got a lot of superhero coverage for you guys, so I hope you guys will tune in for that. You can also follow us on social media if you don't already. We are at @CinemaWaveMedia and @_CultureWaveMedia on Instagram, as well as at @CinemaWaveMedia on TikTok and Threads, and just Culture Wave on Facebook. I am signing off. I am Darian Scalamone.
I'm Mikey Peniston.
And I'm Vinny Albano.
Peace out, everybody.
This is The Culture.